with a cold
a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. Just call 716-433-1433.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Today is Friday, August 23rd, 2024. Hard to believe we are in the third week of August already. Good gravy. And my guest this morning is the world-famous Dr. Ken Kurz from Kurz Family Wellness and Chiropractic. Good morning, Dr. Ken. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eric. I'm fine. World famous?
Well, yeah.
Well, we do stream all over the world.
That's what I'm saying. We got people in Texas, people in Thailand, right. People in Canada.
Right.
So this is a multi-international show.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And because why not?
Right. It was.
As well, it should be.
Yeah. Just like my daughter's wedding last month, that was multi-international from 8 different countries represented.
Wow. So that's pretty great. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. I think that's a good, it's really cool to have everybody from everywhere. And isn't it amazing how if a government's not involved, we can all get along?
Yes. It was incredible. I mean, it was just like the most wonderful, smooth running, just celebration. You know, it was great. You know, 8 different countries and everybody got along. Everybody was so excited to be there, and it was just a really, really wonderful event. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the stuff that lifelong memories are made of.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're going to remember it for all the work you did to get it ready.
It was every bit of it was worth it, though. Every bit of it was. Yeah, I'd do it again. I got 4 more to go, so let's see what happens.
Well, you're off to a good start, Dr. Ken, that's for sure. So this is Dr. Ken Kurz from Kurz Family Chiropractic and Wellness, located at 741 Davison Road here in the city of Lockport. And if you would like to have an appointment at his office, you can call them at 434-0671, 434-0671. But now you can call us here at the station and ask your questions, and they will get addressed at 433-1433. We would absolutely love to hear from you this morning, 433-1433. So, Doc, what do you think we're going to talk about? Who are we going to beat up today in the allopathic world?
Who are we going to beat up today? Oh, my goodness. I don't want to beat anybody up. You know, I don't know. I know you've... You know, the one thing I just told you at the beginning of the show here is that one of my very, very closest friends, and I'm going to get, let me just pull it up here. So for people who know Dr. Scott Geis, who was a dentist in Newfane, and who went through a relatively rough bump in his life, they've just released on the Amazon bestsellers list the book he wrote about his story. And it's called A Disturbing Injustice, The True Story of a Small Town Doctor and His Battle Against an Unjust Legal System. This is by Dr. Scott Geis. So, you know, it's something that I'm so excited about that it's, you know, that he finally gets his chance to tell his story of what really happened. And, you know, I was quite intimately involved through the entire process when this was occurring. And it truly was one of the most unjust things I've ever seen happen. You know, this is a man that would do anything for you, you know, and always has and always will. And, you know, it's something that I'm very excited to see it and read it. So, yeah, we have a call.
We did. And then he hung up.
Okay. Well, call on back.
Yep. I'm sure he will.
We're here. Just hang on the line, you know, so, you know, we're going to get to you as soon as we possibly can. But, you know, it's a situation where it should have never taken place. Things got in deeply with the investigation, and then they were going nowhere, so they just diverted and they were going to do something, so they took it to levels that it was hard to believe that they went to, you know, based on the evidence that they had. And it's unfortunate because he paid a big price for it, but he came out of it. He still can hold his head up high, and I'm still proud to, you know, call him my friend, you know, so it's a good thing. Yeah, let's go ahead and grab that call.
Good morning, caller. You are on with Dr. Ken Kurz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, they're at it. Again, today's Buffalo News. U.S. regulators approved updated COVID vaccines on Thursday. Shots designed for more closely targeted recent strains, hopefully the variants this winter. Pfizer and Moderna are set to begin shipping millions of doses. A third U.S. manufacturer, Novavax, expects its modified vaccines a little bit later. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention already has recommended this fall shot for everyone aged 6 months and older. Skipping the new shot is a hazardous way to go, that Centers for Disease Control. Remember, they used to say skipping the shots could be life or death. Now it's hazardous.
Right.
Now, explain to me, isn't it the more likely this is circulated, if everyone gets it, it's going to mutate to a very low dangerous level.
This is what it's done, you know, and it's unfortunate. But I said this in the very beginning. Once they establish this thing, it will be forever. Now you will have the annual COVID shot along with your annual flu shot and your pneumonia shot and all that stuff. It's just it never ends. We never address the issue of, you know, what can a person do to boost their immune system to help themselves. In a natural sense, you know, this whole thing was just, it's so hard to believe that even took place and it went to the levels that it did. But, you know, once they've established this thing, you know, marketing, and I mean, I saw the advertisements for it this morning just before I came to the show, and I just rolled my eyes. You know, my mother-in-law was with me, you know, in the living room, and I'm going like, oh my God, here they go again, you know, it's never going to be ending. And now again, we're coming into fall. So now we're coming into what someone has established as the flu season, you know, and so they're going to ramp it up and they're going to hit it hard and just keep, you know, wait for it. You're going to see it every day, all day long.
It doesn't say in the paper, I bet Pfizer and Moderna, I bet they got projected revenue streams for this every fall for what they expect to get from these shots.
Yeah. They say that again about the revenue stream now?
Well, I'm sure that's all budgeted in there.
They know what they're doing, you know. But again, you know, when you instill fear in people, you know, because again, believe me, I mean, look back to 4 years ago in 2020. You want to talk about instilling fear into a world population. Boy, they did a good job of it. You know, and the problem is there's a lot of people, you know, when I still see young people out there wearing masks, it absolutely blows my mind to see that people are so fearful. I was in a Starbucks the other day. I walked in and this guy literally was walking in fear, and he probably couldn't have been more than his probably late 20s at most, you know, masked up and just avoiding going near anybody. It's like, wow, I just can't imagine living in that kind of level of stress and fear.
Oh, I also saw an article a couple months ago. It says, aim for a happy medium with HDL. Research suggests too much good cholesterol may pose health hazards. Past observation studies, you know, they said that you should try to get it, if you're not diabetic, above 40 for men, I guess above 50 for women. However, a recent analysis found that people with very high HDL levels, 80 milligrams DL, and what's that?
Deciliters.
Or higher, were about as likely to die from heart disease as people with a low one. So, of course, this study had five experimental drugs known as CEIP inhibitors. Well, you know the drugs were involved in this.
Of course.
And the study showed none have achieved their goal of preventing heart attacks. But isn't that the medical thing? It all has to do with the sale of the drug. If it's too high or too low, it's too high or too low, usually, in most cases, because of drugs.
Right. They have a drug. So realize this. Let's go back to a little bit about cholesterol. First of all, your liver produces the cholesterol that the body needs. The other thing is that it has been shown that dietary cholesterol, what you eat, does not affect your overall cholesterol levels, because cholesterol is produced by the liver. All right. So the thing is, Back in 2015, they discounted and debunked all the garbage about the high cholesterol issues because they found that, you know, when they did studies on people that died of heart attacks, you know, 50% of them had high cholesterol and 50% of them didn't, you know. And so the thing is, if just lowering cholesterol was going to be the factor, you know, that would have shown much different results. The thing is that the whole issue with cholesterol is that when people have too high of a carbohydrate diet, too high of a processed food diet, it creates a tremendous amount of inflammation within the body and inflammation within the vascular system. And the way the body protects the inflammatory processes within the thing is to lay down cholesterol to protect the inflamed issues. And that's where the cholesterol will build up in an artery and a person will end up having a heart attack. So the problem is you need to change their diet. You need to decrease the inflammation in your body and not worry about the cholesterol. The cholesterol is doing the job it needs to do. But the other issue is cholesterol is, you know, every cell membrane in your body is made up of cholesterol. Your brain is over 80% cholesterol. You must have cholesterol in order to survive and to function normally. And that's why we have such an issue in today's age, 40 years later after using statin drugs, is the problem with the dramatic increase in dementias and Alzheimer's and all these things.
That's from too low cholesterol, right?
Right, from too low. They're pushing it too low, you know.
So and, more is not better.
No, gosh. You know, more what? More drugs or...
Well, it's better for the pharmaceutical, but it's not better for a person's health.
Right, right. Well, because again, when you're on statin drugs, they're supposed to be checking your liver function, okay? Because they know that it's destroying your liver, okay? And so this is the issue that's incredibly frustrating, and yet it's the gold standard. They're still pushing this stuff like crazy, and people just fall for it every single time.
But doesn't the same thing happen with the blood pressure as far as? Now they want to get lower and lower and lower. Well, not one drug, but three drugs.
Yep.
But that's no good either.
The more drugs, the more profit.
Especially, but elderly, if it gets too low, it can cause problems.
Absolutely. Well, you just look in the vaccine industry. You know, 30 years ago, you know, kids got 14 vaccines up to age 18. Currently, they get 72. You know, you think there's a little bit more profit in that? The more, the better. You know, is it really for your health or is it for the profit? You know, and I tend to go towards the profit.
You notice, though, a lot of the drugs that they're really pushing are not one-time ones, like antibiotics.
No.
They're every day of the year they want you to take it.
Because once you're hooked, okay? You know, the big three, you know, blood sugar, blood cholesterol, and hypertension, blood pressure. Okay, those are the big three. Once you get put on them, there's no intentions to ever take you off of those. And I have seen people who have made, I mean, I've been intimately involved with people who have made dramatic results, you know, dramatic changes in their lifestyles and their diets, who can get off all of that stuff because it's all lifestyle related, you know. And you know, yet we tell people to eat all this crap. You look at the standard American diet, which is 60% carbohydrates, you know, and you wonder why we develop all these health problems. You wonder why we have one of the highest obesity rates in the world. You know, because they just push this issue over and over and over again. They know exactly what they're doing. But by the experts saying that this is the recommended thing, you know, you think you're doing the right thing when in fact, you know, you're killing yourself with what you're doing.
Because I've spoken to a number of people. They say, you know, they follow through. Like 3 years in a row, this man said, I got a flu shot. And every year, the day after, I got symptoms of the flu. Well, that's what you're trying to avoid.
Right. And then they'll tell you, well, if you would have gotten the flu, it would have been much worse. This is always the excuse they get.
That's activating your immune system.
Right. They do this all the time. They did this with COVID. They did this all the time. It's like, you know what? First of all, for me personally, I've never gotten a flu shot in my entire life, and I've never had the flu. And I'm in healthcare. I'm exposed to this stuff constantly. Okay? But I know how my immune system is working. You know, and it doesn't mean that I'm never going to get sick or never going to have a problem. But you know what? I haven't had as much of a cold in over 30 years, you know, and I don't do any of that stuff, you know, but I'm very conscious about how I live my life, how I eat, what I do, you know, and those are the things that are going to make more of a difference than sitting there. You know, people don't want to take any responsibility for themselves. You know, people say, well, if I just take the cholesterol drug, I can eat whatever I want.
It's like, well, you know, eating whatever you want drives the whole inflammatory process within your body. There are plenty of people who have been on cholesterol drugs for years and still die of heart attacks, you know. So it's like it's so incredibly frustrating because we're so unwilling to take responsibility, you know, for our own health and our own diet that it's just easier to take the drug. You know.
Okay, thanks. I thought I'd pass along that information.
Absolutely. Always appreciate your comments. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah. All right. Yep, he's always well-read and ready for class.
I enjoy it. Yeah. Every single time, enjoy it. Because, you know, he does his due diligence, and it's incredibly frustrating. For me being in the healthcare industry that I'm in, it's incredibly frustrating to see how irresponsible things are done, you know. These whole issue, you know, I love looking. I see these commercials now for, you know, we're so close to curing Alzheimer's. It's no, you're actually creating, you know, it's a created disease. You know, it's a situation. 50 years ago, it was an incredibly rare thing to see a person with Alzheimer's or a dementia issue. You know, you saw some really elderly people that would have those issues. Now you're seeing people, you know, in their 30s and 40s and, you know, developing Alzheimer's and dementias and all these things like that. You know, and you wonder, do you ever question that?
Early onset type 3 diabetes.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what they're naming Alzheimer's now is type 3 diabetes. You know, because again, it's the inflammatory processes that are affecting the brain, you know, and that's what's creating the problem. Right. You can take a person and, you know, get them, you know, dramatically change their diets, get them off all that crap, you know, and start really, you know, inducing and see reversals in these type of situations. Obviously, some have gone too far, but people need to start making some changes. I'll never forget a patient of mine years ago. He was only probably in his late 50s, maybe early 60s, and he was definitely developing dementia, okay? And it was becoming a problem, and it ended up taking his life. But I'll never forget, and it didn't click at the time, but he had a real problem with sweating, okay? It was just a real issue for him. And one of his daily routines is he would take deodorant and rub it all over his body. Well, what's in an antiperspirant deodorant?
Aluminum.
Aluminum.
That's right.
Aluminum. What is aluminum? It passes the blood-brain barrier. Okay? What's one of the biggest issues with that? Oh, my gosh. Dementia. You know, how about addressing the underlying problem? But he didn't know any better. You know, he thought, well, it's an antiperspirant. It's going to stop me from perspiring. But not realizing the detrimental effect that that had on him of creating that constant flow of aluminum into the system. You know, it's incredibly frustrating, and we don't look at that. Then the general population doesn't look at it because they just don't understand it. They don't know. But when you get the authorities out there saying that this is okay, then you just believe that because you take that. Just look at our dietary guidelines. You know, they're an absolute ridiculous mess. But yet, that's the stuff that's pushed over and over again.
Right, and cooking with aluminum pans.
Yep,
that was a fad.
Aluminum pans, aluminum foil. Mm-hmm. You know, all those things. You know. Putting everything in aluminum, you know, those all contribute, you know, they're all little pieces of the puzzle.
Right. So I know if you cook with your cast iron pans, it takes care of all the iron that you need.
Right.
Just by cooking in the pan.
Right.
No, so
I
what
only,
you cook in does make
I
a
only
difference.
Cook in either carbon steel pans or cast iron. That's how I cook.
Right.
You know. So
Teflon,
that'll
kill you.
All the off gases from all those nonstick surfaces. You know, if you take a good carbon steel pan and you age it like you do a cast iron pan, it's nonstick.
Right.
You know, things don't stick to it. It takes a little while to develop that. But once you develop it, it's a wonderful way to cook, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you don't have all the detrimental effects of that.
Right, because I know that Teflon, if you cook with Teflon, it will kill your birds. Yeah. If you have a pet bird in your house, that Teflon will...
Yeah, especially if it overheats. You know, if it overheats on the stove, it absolutely can.
Because they're so sensitive to that. And Teflon was initially developed, I believe, to make tanks waterproof.
Oh, okay.
And then that was an industrial purpose for that.
Right.
And then they were using Teflon for other purposes, and then they did testing and found out that pregnant women that were on the Teflon line didn't do so good. So they made it all men on the Teflon line.
There you go.
And still ended up marketing it for cookware. Because that was the best way to sell it.
Yeah. You see so many products out there. You know, look at margarine, which is totally fake garbage, you know. That was used, you know, that was used in industry.
Right.
You know. And it wasn't effective, so what did they do? They had all this stuff to utilize, you know, so they colored it, flavored it.
So let's eat it.
Market it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you've seen the tests where you put a stick of margarine in the windowsill and a stick of butter in the windowsill. Even the flies won't eat margarine.
Right, exactly.
They're like, no, man, it's nasty.
Yeah.
No.
Good grief. I don't know. I don't know, but that, but yet we're so sold on this stuff, you know. You know, all the vegetable fats and all the, you know, the corn oils, the canola oils, all of these things that are just industrialized, highly processed, you know, highly inflammatory to the body, and yet we just say, oh, it's so much better for you. You know, we live in a plant-based world now, so you want to eat vegetable oil. High in omega-6 fatty acids, highly inflammatory to the body, but that's okay because it's, quote, plant-based. And if you're demonized if you go animal-based, you know, because you're killing the planet and ruining the environment because you're promoting animal husbandry. It's like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
I just don't know. But their marketing was brilliant.
Absolutely.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was on, what, the 70s, and it's still top of mind?
It still is. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And because butter was so demonized that everybody, you know, it's like they look at you cross-eyed if you do that, right, if you eat butter. But to eat all that other garbage, all that other highly processed crap, you know, then you're okay. You know, you're virtue signaling that you're doing all the right things.
Well, as long as we're virtue signaling,
you know, and there's a lot of that going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Ask the Pro here on WLVL. Dr. Ken Kerbs is my guest, and he is a chiropractor. He owns Kerbs Family Chiropractic and Wellness at 741 Davison Road here in the city of Lockport. And we are open to your questions, comments, thoughts, concerns. Pretty much anything's on the table. If you want to ask it, he'll find an answer for it at 433-1433. So I got to ask you, Doc. COVID didn't kill us. The chicken flu didn't kill us. Now they're saying monkeypox is going to kill us.
Have you
seen the...
I haven't seen the news stuff on that, because I try not to listen to the news because it's so incredibly frustrating. They already tried to pull that, didn't they, a year or so ago with the monkeypox?
Well, it's back.
You know, yeah, okay.
Because this article is 19 hours old.
Okay.
It says, monkeypox is now considered a global health emergency.
There you go.
As cases surge in Central Africa and a new subtype of the virus, which causes severe illness, spreads to multiple countries, prompting concerns about the lockdown over the virus formerly known as the monkeypox in the USA.
There you go.
It's a highly contagious viral disease which can cause flu-like symptoms and painful skin lesions. It's caused by the Mpox virus, which spreads through close contact.
Uh-huh.
And in response to a growing outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and neighboring countries in Africa, the World Health Organization declared it a public health emergency and an international concern of the WHO's highest level of alarm.
We should shut the country down right now before it goes any further. Shut the world down right now. It's still isolated in Africa. Please shut the world down, you know, so we can deal with this thing. And please get the vaccine developed, because you know that's happening.
Oh, sure.
You know that's happening.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be prepared for that. You know, I don't understand how we have survived for the last million years as human beings.
As a species?
Right. How have we survived? Because all of this garbage, all of this technology and stuff has all developed within the last 100, 150 years. You know, how did people ever survive before that?
Yeah.
You know, and says, well, you know, people, you know, the biggest change that occurred before all this garbage occurred was things like sanitation, you know, clean water, proper sewage. You know, I love watching old movies, you know, when they talk about colonial times or they talk about Europe. They never show what really happened. People used to dump raw sewage in the streets.
That's right.
You know, tenement buildings in New York City were, people would literally have raw sewage in their apartments because they didn't have running water and plumbing and all that
stuff. Right, where are they going
to put it? And you wonder why in these concentrated, you know, living environments where there were, you know, multiple generations of families living in the same apartment. And you wonder why disease spread so rapidly,
yep.
You know, with the rat infestation and the sewage and all this stuff. It's like once that stuff got cleaned up, boy, things changed dramatically with disease.
Yeah, John Crepper saved more lives than
anybody
on the planet.
I say, you know, plumbers created more, you know, more advanced more with disease than any vaccine ever did.
Right.
You know,
Absolutely. You know, and yet we still sit there and we just, you know, we found this profit thing and we just keep driving it home and driving it home. You know, we live in an antiseptic world. You know, how do you think people lived hundreds of years ago? You know, did they bathe every day? No.
Nope.
Did they have deodorant? Did
nope.
they did they have any of that stuff?
No. Nope.
Did they eat processed food?
Nope.
You know, did they eat fake stuff? You know, were they plant-based? No, none of them were.
No.
None of them were. Okay, it didn't happen. Meat was always the primary source of food, you know. And, you know, they would eat berries when they were, you know, could you know, when they're in season and they could find them, you know. And then, you know, it wasn't until, what, 8,000 or 10,000 years ago is that the whole agrarian movement began, where they started farming and planting stuff and developing that. But prior to that, you know, people were mainly hunter-gatherers, you know, and that was they hunted for their main source of food. And then they scavenged whatever they could, you know, in with whatever they could find. But you realize all plants produce toxins, so you know, you wonder why certain things will kill you. You know, there's not too many animal sources of food out there that'll kill you, but there's a lot of plants out there that'll kill you,
you know? Right, they want to survive.
Yeah,
for sure.
And they survive again realize, and we've talked about this before, you know, how does an animal protect themselves? You know, they either run or they fight. Okay, but how does a plant protect themselves? They're rooted in the ground,
right?
You know, and they can't run and they can't fight, so they protect themselves by producing toxins, you know. And that's the situation that comes into play. And the most concentrated toxin is in the seed, and it's in the baby plant, you know. That's what's going to produce its offspring, you know. So that's why there's such an issue with so many of these things out there. You realize if you eat raw kidney beans, you will die. You know, they have to be cooked. They have to be processed. You know, you have to do something with them. You can't just eat them raw. But they said something like five, you know, eating five raw kidney beans could kill you.
Wow.
You know, yet when we cook the process, or, you know, when they ferment, or when they do, you know, different process, I mean, that was what was learned over the centuries, you know, in order to survive, because people would die from certain things. So they, you know, it was like, I heard an interesting thing on corn, you know, and, you know, how corn is, how it was processed, you know, that they actually, you know, when they made, I'm going blank on that. They would process corn in lye. Okay, which is incredibly caustic agent, you know, to break down the shell and to minimize the detrimental effect of that.
Yeah,
hominy. It's called hominy. You know, they call hominy grits and hominy. You know,
yeah.
it's a way of processing corn that they did very. It was very. Some people still do it in the South, but they would take wood ash, you know, and they would cook this stuff in wood ash, and then later on it was in lye. And to process the corn so that it was more palatable and didn't have the toxic effects. But we don't do that for now. You know, anybody eats corn on the cob? What happens when you go to the bathroom? You usually see the corn on the cob in the toilet, okay? Because it doesn't digest, you know, but we enjoy that because it's really sweet.
And it's yummy.
Yes. Yes. And yet, it's just, you know, it's
amazing. Not digestible.
It's undigestible. The coating of it, especially, is undigestible. You know, so it goes right through you. You know, but that's okay because we sell a lot of that stuff.
All right, but yeah. Is it harmful?
Is it harmful? There are, you know, again, there are ingredients within those things that can be. No, if you're going to eat corn on the cob, no. Is it that particular one harmful? No, it's an accumulation of the effect of all of those things that are going on. And again, realize corn today isn't what corn was. Corn has been so hybridized, it's been so genetically modified and stuff like that. It's not the same, you know. So that's another thing that comes into play when you're dealing with wheat, and you're dealing, you know, we wonder why we have all these issues with the gluten intolerance and all this stuff. You know, so much of that can be related to, you know, how do they process wheat? You know, people don't realize that, you know, the way to process wheat is about a week before it's going to be harvested, they spray it with glyphosate, which is Roundup, you know, to kill the wheat, which allows, there's a chemical reaction that occurs that allows the wheat to release better when that's done. But now you have all those residual effects of glyphosate or Roundup in your food, in your cereal, in your, you know, I mean, they've done studies on showing how much glyphosate is in the food system. And it's amazing. There's not a lot that isn't touched by that.
Right. Well, I remember, was it three episodes ago or so, we talked about bioengineered food.
Yeah.
And how it's everywhere.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what label you read, you're going to find it. And if it doesn't tell you that it's there, it'll tell you to call an 800 number to tell you what is there.
Yeah. And who's going to do that?
Nobody.
No, nobody. No, people don't do that. No. People don't read labels, you know?
No, and then they're rewording the terminology for what some of this stuff is, too. So even if you do read labels, if it's a new word,
you're the same thing. Again, we assume that the food that is being marketed to us is safe, okay? We assume that. And it certainly has to go through certain standards to get to that point. But what we don't realize is the long-term effect of eating that way, especially highly processed food, sugar, and high carbohydrate diets. Incredibly detrimental down the road.
433-1433. What say you, oh listening audience?
Yeah.
We've still got plenty of time with the good doctor here in studio, so take advantage of your opportunity to talk to him.
It amazes me sometimes that people do not want to talk about that. You know, they don't want to talk about their diet. They don't want to talk about, you know, what they can do personally. You know,
because it's personal responsibility.
Right. You know.
Who wants to do that?
Right.
It's adulting. Ugh.
Yeah, and what happens is, you know, these things are incredibly addictive. You know, sugar is very addictive. You know, it works on the same dopamine centers of your brain. It stimulates that same dopamine response that cocaine, alcohol, and all the other things do. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, we've developed it into our society that's how we show love. You know, we show love by giving people sweets and candy and all that stuff. So yeah, crazy.
Well, Hallmark done good.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got going on here. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Ken Curves. What is your thought, comment, or question, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm wondering what is a healthy diet for your liver, and I'm going to hang up and just listen to you because I'm getting ready for an appointment.
Okay. What is a healthy diet for your liver? So it's about not eating processed food, okay? It's a healthy diet for your entire body. Now, so realize your liver is a detoxification organ within your body. Your liver has to process all the garbage and crap that you put into it. So by cleaning that up, by lowering your carbohydrate intake, by eliminating processed foods, all of that, by eliminating alcohol and sugar and all those things, those are all healthy for your liver. You allow your liver to do the job that it needs to do. So the less carbohydrates that you eat, the better off your liver is going to be. The less processed foods, you know, the less alcohol, the less those things that you eat are all going to, you know, increase the overall function of your liver and allow it to function the way that it should. There's not a specific diet that's going to say, oh, you know, my liver has a problem, so I'm going to eat this. However, you know, it's just about changing the whole diet, and a low carbohydrate, a low to no carbohydrate diet is going to be your best choice, you know, to really increase your protein and your fat intake and decrease your carbohydrates in general, eliminating all the processed food, eliminating all the processed vegetable oils and seed oils. Those are big factors that are going to take a good role in allowing your liver to function properly, because you're not taxing your liver on an ongoing constant basis. Also realize people are on a lot of medications. Well, your liver is what has to process all of that stuff. You know, so sometimes people will develop problems just as a result of that type of thing. Like I said, with statin drugs, if a person's on a statin drug, they have to monitor liver function. There's a reason for that. Okay. You know, is because it affects liver enzymes, you know, and it can damage your liver. They know that stuff, but you rarely see people having that done, you know. They always wait until a person starts falling apart. Then they discover, oh, my God, you know, your liver enzymes are off. Maybe we should check those things, you know.
And then, of course, the standard for how much you should take changes with how much influence the pharmaceutical companies have on the governing agencies.
That, yes. And also the influence they have on the medical profession.
Right.
You know, there's incredible incentives, you know, to push certain drugs. You know, let me tell you something. I practiced in professional park for 20 years, and, you know, I could go out in the parking lot, and boy, I could tell in a heartbeat, you know, you've got the,
what I call the hot girl or the hot guy digging in their trunk with all the samples, coming out and pushing all the samples out and bringing lunch and, you know, and doing all these things, you know, to promote their drug and their product and all that stuff. Tremendous amounts of incentives. Mm-hmm. I think that's a conflict of interest. Okay. But no, that's the way the industry is run.
You know, right. So a pharmaceutical rep will show up to the doctor's office with different types of medications.
All the free samples.
Right.
And then the incentives for, hey, doc, you know, if you have, you know, 10 more prescriptions of this, you're going to, we're going to give you this nice little thing. We're going to send you on a little continuing education trip to, you know, Miami, or, you know, they're going to bring me lunch. And, you know, my wife worked at Millard Suburban Hospital. You know, she worked in newborn nurse. This was years ago before we had children. You know, when you had all the, the baby formula reps coming in and bringing tons of samples and all this free stuff, you know, because they wanted to get these babies hooked on the formula rather than allowing a baby to do what it should be doing, and that is breastfeeding their natural. Right. It's like, get them on the formula because, again, you've got a customer for a very long time. It's very profitable. You know, mother's milk isn't profitable. Formula is very profitable. And there were many times in our history that, you know, that was all promoted and pushed is give your kid formula. It's, quote, better for your child. We wonder why we have health problems. You know, the best thing you can do for your child is to have a healthy pregnancy, a natural delivery, and breastfeed your baby. And get your baby to a chiropractor early to make sure that there's no interference within their nervous system. Mm. That's how you're going to raise a healthy child.
Sounds reasonable.
And challenge and question all the inundation of vaccines, especially in those first 2 years of life, which just, you know, they literally assault children with the amount of things that they give them.
Man, that's just crazy, the amount of the level of autism, how it's risen.
It's, you know, since 1986, it's gone from 1 in 10,000 to one in 40 now, you know.
And yet,
and the vaccine schedule has gone from 14 to 72. But they'll still deny there's any correlation at all.
Right. And how many autistic Amish kids are there?
Yeah, none. That virtually does not exist in
Amish. No, probably one in 10,000.
You know, I know that there was one documented case, but it was an adopted child.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess we can take genetics out of that.
So, yeah, you don't, you know, the Amish population do not vaccinate their children, you know, and you wonder how they live. You know, they have a thriving community.
They do. They stick to themselves. And don't let the outside world interfere.
Yeah, but they still are connected with the outside world. You know, I mean, you know, they still are.
Right.
But they live a very different life.
Right. They manage their lives differently.
Yeah.
Which is okay. You know, if that's what you
want
to do.
Well, it makes sense. You know, it's like, hey, I certainly like certain conveniences. You know, I like electricity. I really do.
I'm a big fan of hot running water.
Yes, I am too. Absolutely.
Clean hot running water.
Right. I am a big fan of that stuff.
Air conditioning? I'm in.
See, I don't have air conditioning in my house, so I could take it or leave it. I mean, sometimes on some of these hot, humid days, yeah, I absolutely would love air conditioning, but some people live in air conditioning all the time, too, and I would much rather have that fresh air coming into my house, you know, than the air conditioning. But, yeah, there's things that I certainly do like, but we've gone way too far, you know. We live in an artificial world is what we live in. You know, everything is processed, everything is easy, everything is quick. You know, we can't take time to, you know, shop, prep, and serve a meal when you can just buy the meal ready made. You know, go to your local fast food restaurant or go wherever you want to go and have it ready.
Well, the art of process has been lost because of instant gratification. And I'm not sure if it started with the microwave or if it started with the remote control for the television set. Yeah. I'm thinking probably the microwave.
Yeah. That changed the world. The microwave changed the world, you know.
Yep.
To irradiate everything you eat is amazing that we're okay with that.
And it takes away virtually all the nutritional properties of the food, right?
I mean, it certainly depletes them a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are people that live their lives in a microwave. I mean, all their food is cooked in a microwave.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
I guess it's okay to heat your coffee up.
Yeah, you know, the only time I've ever used a microwave sometimes is what I call a sensor reheat. You know, a reheat of an I never cook in a microwave.
No.
I don't even defrost things in a microwave. I have, you know, I have this really cool plate thing that I have. You lay your whatever frozen is on it, and it thaws very, very quickly.
Yeah, I've got one of those. They're neat.
Yeah, they're very
I don't know how or why it works, but
right,
it does.
I don't either, but it's a very handy device.
And, it is.
You know, it'll thaw something out far quicker than you'd think, mm-hmm. you know. But also, again, it's think ahead. You know, if I need something thawed out, I take it out ahead of time.
Right.
And let it thaw.
Yeah,
you
take
know,
it out
that
the
would,
day before.
But I mean, but if you need a quickie, like if I'm, you know, I forgot to take something out, I'll take it out and lay it on that plate. And all of a sudden, it'll be, you know, within a couple hours, it's ready to go.
Yeah, good stuff. 433-1433, if you would like to get on the phone with the good Dr. Ken Kerbs, he would like to talk to you because he can. And he knows a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff. All right. So we were talking about liver earlier, Doc.
Yeah.
What, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, what's all that with a...
You know, they're inflammatory conditions of the liver. Mm-hmm. They could be life-threatening. They can kill you.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be addressed and treated. Some of them are curable. Some of them are not. The point of it is to not get it in the first place, you know, and again, it has to do with, you know, some are caused by viruses. And so, you know, again, exposure to things, lifestyle, you know, IV drug use, irresponsible sexual contact. Those are probably two of the most common ways of passing that on. You know, you can't get hepatitis by walking by a person. Okay.
No? You can't get it through osmosis?
You have to have a little bit more intimate contact than that. But it's a serious, serious situation that really can be mm-hmm. Debilitating and to life-threatening, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, just out of personal curiosity, talk about jaundice.
Jaundice?
Yeah. What is what's going on there? I had it when I had mono when I was a kid.
Right, right.
And then they said, you can't ever give blood.
Can't ever give blood?
Ever.
That, I don't know about, yeah, I don't know whether or not that's a criteria. I mean, it certainly is a malfunction within the liver.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we have the lady from the American Red Cross on here frequently. Is she confirmed that
really?
Is true? Yeah.
That if you have it, if you ever had jaundice, what about a child? I mean, there are many times when newborn babies, you know, have jaundice, you know, are they then disqualified from ever giving blood?
I don't know.
The thing is that a lot of times with jaundice, especially in adult, indicates some type of liver disease. So hepatitis is the biggie. And so, yeah, that a person would be certainly precluded from donating blood because you can pass that on.
Sure.
You know, so that's the situation, I guess, depending on what would have created the jaundice in the first place. Yeah, I would not want any blood from a person who had hepatitis.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
You know, because again, that's how it's transmitted.
Right.
You know. So you can see where their priorities. So they kind of make it a blanket thing, but I can't imagine. You know, it's not uncommon to see a newborn baby have jaundice because they put them under ultraviolet lights and things like that. You know, when they're born. That.
Well, let me ask you this: what about accepting blood from a donor who has had RDNA modifications?
I hope, and again, I'm sure it's not being done, but. But I would hope that type of blood would be labeled and you would be identified because you're altering, you know, you're altering genetics.
Yeah.
And so I hope I never have to have a blood transfusion. But I don't know. I mean, that's going to be interesting. There's a lot of controversy. I don't think there's enough known about that at this point because it's all so new. Mm-hmm. That it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that.
Ooh, we have a call.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller. You've got about 2 minutes. What's going on?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
For pans, are those copper pans, you know, those copper pans that they sell, and also the ceramic line kettles and that,
yeah.
Are they good?
You know, that I see, like the copper, like those copper pans you see, they have some kind of, you know, they're copper in color, but they have some type of coating on them that creates a nonstick. So I don't know enough about those to determine, but, you know, I would stick to very natural type cooking things. If something is like enameled or something like that, that's a little bit different story. But I would stick to the cast iron or carbon steel rather than anything that's artificially coated. Because usually those things, when you see them advertised, you can get them for a really good price, which tells me right away that I would question that right away. They look really beautiful because you assume that they're copper, but they're not made of copper. Because copper would be way, 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 way too expensive. You know, so they're copper coated in somewhere, they're copper colored, but I'm pretty sure that it is an artificial type of non-stick surface, you know, that creates that. So I would be cautious about that.
Even those heavy kettles that they have with the ceramic, you know, like stock pot that they have with the.
Oh, you mean like a cast? Well, there's a lot of like Dutch ovens and stuff that are cast iron, yeah. And then they have an enameled cover on them. That's not a problem.
Yeah, okay.
That's not a problem. Yeah.
But is the other aluminum, would you say?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they made. I don't know enough about them to know what material they're made of. I would most likely think that they were probably cast aluminum with the coating on it to make it look like copper and then the nonstick surfaces. But I don't take my word for that. I don't know enough about that technology.
Okay. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. All right, have a great day, Colin. Now.
Great question.
Yeah, I don't know everything, so just so you know.
That's okay. You can have an opinion on everything.
Yeah, I can.
and you clearly state if you don't know, it's an opinion.
Right.
Which is good. Well, thanks, Dr. Ken. Yep. Always appreciate it. I'll see you the second week of September.
September already. Wow.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah. Dr. Ken Kirsch from Kirsch Family Chiropractic and Wellness, 741 Davison Road. 434-0671, 434-0671, if you'd like to get a consultation. Final thoughts, Doc?
Final thoughts? Listen, next weekend is Labor Day. Y'all have a great Labor Day weekend, and just for you kids out there, it's back to school time, so enjoy.
Oh, that hurt.
Enjoy.
All right, thank you so much, Doc.
You bet, thanks.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks.